This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
WNYC Studios is supported by the Natural Resources Defense Council. Using science, the law, and people power, NRDC is committed to confronting the climate crisis, protecting public health, and safeguarding nature. They address the impact of fossil fuels on communities and our environment. They help protect wildlife, public lands, and irreplaceable ecosystems that all living things depend on. They work to enact policies for clean air, clean water, and access to nature for all. You can help NRDC safeguard the Earth for future generations. Visit nrdc.org/WNYC for more information.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now, I tend to be a pretty skeptical person. That's what journalists are all about. So I'm kind of amazed by how many people have a ghost story that they absolutely swear by. If the story didn't happen to them, it happened to someone they know and trust. So we're going to close the show today with a story that, well, the reporting, let's just say, challenged the fact-checking department, and I can't absolutely swear that it's true. All the same, here's The New Yorker's Becky Cooper.
I got this email from a man named David Siegel. He's a friend of a friend, and he said he had a story for me, so I decided to meet him.
Hi. I'm David.
I'm Becky. Nice to meet you.
Come in.
He said, it's going to sound crazy, but I was house-sitting for a friend of mine, and there were these noises, and I couldn't quite figure out what they were, but they were getting louder. It sounded like something was stuck in the chimney. It sounded like...
I don't know if I can imitate this noise, but it was like, crash, crash.
And the noises get so loud that we have to sleep with earplugs in.
I mean, I can't even tell you how loud this noise was.
And he says, you know, at some point, it got to be so bad that we called the friend whose house we're sitting.
My name is Joe Hamilton. We bought this house in 1994.
And we said, Joe, you know, we don't know what's going on. We think there's something stuck in the chimney. But there are these noises that you can't ignore.
I just sort of laughed and said, oh, you know, guys, it's an old house. It creaks, it moans, and that's probably what you're feeling. You're just not used to it. And David was absolutely, nope, something's going on.
He tells her it's more than just noises. These strange things start happening in the house.
My daughter was staying in this room, and this door would just close by itself. By itself. It was too weird, and it would happen all the time.
He tells her there's one night when the babysitter comes to the house, and she says, man, the upstairs tenants are really loud tonight. And when she leaves, David and his husband look at each other because there aren't any upstairs tenants. Finally, Joe tells him he might not be completely crazy, that the house might have a ghost, and not just any ghost.
She said, well, did I ever tell you that this was near the property where Alexander Hamilton died?
I told him the story of the previous owner who had sold me the house and said that she felt that Alexander Hamilton's ghost lived here.
Hi, Irene.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. You know what? I need both hands for this moment. I just want to put... having guests, and I want to just put some spaghetti in this hot water. Could you mind holding for a second?
No, that's fine. That's Irene Connors. She moved out of that house in 1994, and she sold the place to Joe. I wanted to get the ghost story from someone who reportedly had actually seen the ghost.
Well, I remember he had light-colored knee trousers, a slim man wearing a white powdered wig, wearing a very good-looking white silk shirt with a jabot.
So what she says, she was washing the sink here, and I don't know when this happened.
And here's where the stove now is.
Yeah, exactly, okay. Where the sink was. And she said she saw his face, like, right there.
I wasn't concerned. He wasn't a frightening figure. I don't want to make up anything, but he simply was there.
So Irene does believe in the ghost, But Joe Hamilton, the one who bought the house from Irene Connors, her last name is Hamilton, but she's not actually related to Alexander Hamilton, is not so sure.
I said, well, do I need to worry or, you know, wonder about this? And we were just starting the renovation. And she said, just lay out your plans for him. Like, so like, he can see him. It's like, and he won't bother you at all. And so that's what we did. And we left the plans out for a long time. And I don't think he ever bothered us. I mean, I'm either terribly insensitive and not aware of these things, but he never bothered us.
I've never believed in ghosts. I've never experienced ghosts before. And this was the first time I ever thought maybe there is a spirit in this house.
If you know anything about Alexander Hamilton, you probably know that he died in a duel and that the duel took place in New Jersey. He survived the duel at least for a while and was taken across the Hudson River to his friend's house, William Bayard, in the West Village of Manhattan. There's a plaque at 82 Jane Street that says basically, this is the site where Alexander Hamilton died. The house we're talking about, though, is 71 Jane Street. 71 Jane Street is across the street and a few houses east from the plaque. But the word on Jane Street is that the plaque might be wrong. So I went to solve this bit of the mystery in the map division of the New York Public Library.
The map division room?
Map division.
Oh, I see. Yes. Thank you very much.
Kate Cordes showed me around and showed me this old map from 1767.
This is what will eventually become the West Village, Greenwich Village. There are only a few major landowners over here at this time.
The library has a tool that overlays the old New York City map from the 1700s over today's grid.
So this is the NYPL map warper.
I could see the streets of today's Manhattan, 14th Street, Horatio, Jane.
And you can move the slider here. It goes back and forth.
And then she slid the transparency bar of the old map.
Monument Lane.
It appeared like a ghostly image over the city streets.
There's Bayard's estate.
And suddenly it was clear. The shadow of Bayard's house, a darker splotch than the rest of the farmland around it, was a block further north than where the plaque now is. And the midway point between the plaque and Bayard's house, the house, remember, where Hamilton died, is 71 Jane Street, which is where David heard the sounds.
How does a bastard, orphan, son of a whore and a Scotsman, dropped in the middle of a forgotten spot in the Caribbean by providence, impoverished and squalor, grow up to be a hero and a scholar?
Joe Hamilton, my husband and I have been talking about this a lot. Why did he maybe appear in this house? And we think part of the reason was because there's so much publicity around the show that he's actually finding his legacy.
There's a musical on Broadway now called Hamilton, which tells his story. You've probably heard of it. It just won the Grammy for Best Musical Theater Album of the Year. Middle school kids can quote the lyrics. He was longing for something to be a part of. David thinks maybe it rustled up the ghost.
I'm sure he has received more press inches in the last year than he received probably in the last 200 years.
David decided to have a seance to communicate with the ghost of Alexander Hamilton, and he invited me to come.
So you stayed here for 2 months, and then why all of a sudden have you decided to invite a medium?
Well, I thought that, I mean, this story is sort of nuts. Let's admit that. The story is nuts. But I had been introduced to a medium through a mutual business colleague, but I've never seen her at work.
Hi.
We have lots of
I'm
friends.
Litany.
Hi, I'm Becky. Yeah.
Hi, Becky.
Nice to meet you.
So she is standing in the entrance, and we're all gathered around her, and she wants to go through the house and feel if she feels the presence. And so we walk up to the third floor, which is the floor where his daughter had stayed, and she walks in.
Do you want to walk around yourself? Or
no, it's fine.
She explores the room, and it's clear she feels something.
This is where the spirit kind of maybe was or searching around. Let me go in the other rooms just to compare.
We're now walking into the other bedroom that has the fireplace.
No. No. That room. That place. That room. This was a small child that's here.
So her first sense of the spirit in the house is that it's not Alexander, that it's a child. But whatever it is, she leaves the room all of a sudden. She can't stand to be in it because she says the energy is too strong. So we walk back down with her, and she takes out her Ouija board. And she puts it down, and we all gather around her. Joe's on a seat, and David's on the couch next to her, and I'm sitting sort of at the foot of the couch on the floor next to her. And she's holding her Ouija board, which has a tiger painted on it and numbers and letters and then like one yes area. And she starts trying to communicate with this spirit.
Litany and David's hands are moving around in circles on the board counterclockwise pretty quickly across the alphabet.
I am here and I would like to help. Okay, can you bring that spirit that's in this house willingly on here? I am scared. Can you feel the energy here? Yes.
Despite my skepticism, Litany creates a sense of presence in the room. And the planchette of her board slides back and forth over the letters on it, and she says, "Can you tell me your name?"
Do you remember your name? P. H. I. L. L. I. P. Philip? Yes.
David's eyes are just getting bigger and bigger and more intense as this is happening because that's the name of Alexander Hamilton's son.
What happened to you, Philip? I did not live long. Is this where you lived? Not so sure, right? Yes. You miss your mother? Yes. Do you know your mother's name? E. L. I. E. L. I. Z. A. Eliza?
That's the name of Alexander Hamilton's wife, Philip's mom.
Can you look past the room where you were little? Can you keep looking? Don't be scared. They're not there? Okay. Can we ask them to come closer? You see someone? Can you see your mother there? Can you leave the house?
And that was it. The ghost was gone.
That's usually how it works.
Wow.
Basically, what happened, this to me, my sense was this was a little baby boy, and he died. Sometimes when people die, they leave their bodies fast, and they don't know where they are. They're just confused. They just don't know if they're still here or they're not here, and they get kind of stuck.
It seemed like both Joe and David believed Litany, even if she didn't get all of her facts right. Hamilton did have a son named Philip. Two, actually. The older one also died in a duel. The other one, Philip number two, didn't die as a young child, and he didn't die in that house. But he was taken as a baby into the room by his mother to give his father a kiss goodbye on his deathbed. As long as we're entertaining the possibility of ghosts, I suppose it's possible then that a spirit might forget its age and go back to a house where such a meaningful event happened, and then get stuck. Or maybe this is New York City and this is something that happened 200 years ago and there are hundreds of people who have lived and died on that block since then, and maybe one of them was named Philip and maybe they got lost. But then there's Irene. She's the original owner who believes she was visited by the ghost of Alexander. She wasn't at the seance, but I told her about it, and she wasn't having any of it. So do you believe that the spirit or the presence of Alexander Hamilton was in your house that night?
Yes, no question. That I have no question about. He was too real. I think that I believe there are many things in this life that we can't say absolutely yes or absolutely no to. I think it's the word ghost that has a negative implication. And so if there were another word, a spirit or something else, I do believe that when we leave this life, maybe we don't leave it completely.
In Hamilton the musical, there's a song about the thing people leave behind when they die, their story.
I mean, there's lines that ring so true with me. Who lives, who dies, who tells your story?
let me tell you what I wish I'd known when I was young and dreamed of glory. You have no control.
Who lives, who dies, who tells your story?
President Jefferson.
I can't help but think about that all the time. Who lives, who dies, who tells your story? I mean, isn't that what this is really about? Even us just sitting here.
Maybe as long as we're telling Hamilton's story, he's somewhere looking over our shoulder, hoping that we get it right.
Every other founding father's story gets told. Every other founding father gets to grow old.
Becky Cooper is on the editorial staff of The New Yorker.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.